To understand the man who would one day stand among the architects of a new nation, it is necessary to begin not with the halls of Congress or the thunder of revolution, but with the quiet rhythms of a modest New England life. John Adams was born on October 30, 1735, in the rural town of Braintree, Massachusetts, a place that today feels distant from the epicenter of global change, yet in his time formed part of a vibrant colonial world simmering with tension, ambition, and possibility. The soil of Braintree was not particularly generous, and neither were the social hierarchies of colonial Massachusetts easily overcome. Yet within this environment, Adams's mind began its restless journey, shaped by family, faith, education, and a relentless internal drive that would define him for the rest of his life. He entered the world as the eldest of three sons in a household that combined modest prosperity with moral seriousness. His father, John Adams Sr., was a farmer, shoemaker, and deacon, roles that, in the colonial context, signified both practical skill and a measure of community respect. His mother, Susanna Boylston Adams, came from a family with a stronger intellectual pedigree, one that included physicians and thinkers. The marriage of these two influences, one grounded in discipline and labor, the other in intellect and reflection, would leave a lasting imprint on the young Adams. From the beginning, he inhabited a world where effort and thought were not mutually exclusive but mutually reinforcing. The Puritan legacy loomed large over his early years. Though the harshest edges of Puritanism had softened by the mid-18th century, its cultural residue remained deeply embedded in New England society. There was an emphasis on moral accountability, self-examination, and a belief that one's life carried both personal and communal significance. For Adams, this translated into an almost constant awareness of himself, his actions, his ambitions, his perceived failures. Even as a boy, he was not free from the habit of reflection. This tendency would later manifest in his extensive diaries and letters, where he dissected his own motives with a frankness that was at times admirable and at times exhausting. Childhood in Braintree was not defined by ease. The rhythms of agricultural life required participation from an early age, and Adams was expected to contribute to the household's productivity. Yet he was not naturally inclined toward manual labor. He would later admit, with characteristic candor, that he found farm work tedious and uninspiring. His mind wandered, often drifting toward books, ideas, and questions that had little immediate utility in the daily grind of colonial life. This tension between expectation and inclination would become one of the defining features of his personality. He respected labor, even admired it, but he did not wish to be confined by it. Education, therefore, emerged as both an escape and a calling. His father, recognizing the boy's intellectual potential, made the crucial decision to direct him toward schooling rather than keeping him tied to the farm. This was no small commitment, as education required resources and, more importantly, a willingness to invest in a future that was uncertain. For Adams, this decision opened a door that would shape not only his own life but, indirectly, the life of the nation he would later help to found. His early schooling was not without difficulty. Adams himself would later recall that he was not always the most diligent student. There were moments of resistance, even of indifference, when the demands of study seemed less appealing than the freedom of the outdoors. Yet beneath this occasional reluctance lay a growing awareness that knowledge offered something more enduring than momentary pleasure. Once he began to apply himself, his abilities became increasingly evident. He developed a facility with language, a taste for argument, and a capacity for sustained intellectual effort that would serve him well in later years.